Thank you, Mark. Let me add my welcome to Mark. I'm glad to see you here. And we're especially glad to have our guest with us this morning. We have a lady from Shreveport, from Ken Wymer's Church, Donna Caboo. We're glad to have you with us. She's is relocating to this area and will be working in Southwest Georgia. So we welcome her to Southwest Georgia and welcome to Eager Avenue Grace Church. And we hope that we can be your church. Okay, if you would turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon preached out of Song of Solomon or not. There's a lot of gospel in there, but for some reason or other, we don't hear a lot about the Song of Solomon. But anyway, the title of my message this morning is The Lily of the Valleys. Webster defines an antitype as that which represents or prefigures a type. The type is a figure. The antitype is the reality. Christ is the antitype of many types in the Scripture. Example, Moses as mediator of Israel was a type. Christ as the one mediator between God and man is the antitype. The antitype Aaron, as high priest of Israel, was typical of Christ, the high priest, who is the antitype, who entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, Hebrews chapter 9. The Passover lamb was a type of the antitype, Christ, who is our Passover, who by his one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The types only shadowed the antitype, always. They always pointed to Jesus, of whom it is written in Hebrews chapter 12, He is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. In other words, Christ's blood spoke of better things than Abel's blood. Abel's blood cried out for justice. Christ's blood at the hand of a just God and a Savior cries out for mercy and grace, because law and justice have been satisfied by his blood. So the antitype is always greater than the type. Christ is the antitype. Christ spoke metaphorically of himself in many ways. He says, I am the way. I am the light. I am the truth. In John chapter 6, he says, I'm the bread of life. In John chapter 9, he says, I'm the light of the world. And in Revelation chapter 22, he is identified as the bright and morning star. So Christ has a lot of names. In Song of Solomon chapter 2, he identifies himself as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, I am, the great I am, is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Here he identifies himself as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. In this simile, he compares himself to a rose and a lily. In what sense is he the rose of Sharon? In what sense is Christ the lily of the valley? That's what I want us to look at this morning for a few moments here. The word rose in the Hebrew is the word crocus, which is actually translated narcissus. The original Hebrew is this, I am the Narcissus of Sharon. That's how the original Hebrew is written. The Narcissus and the Crocus are members of the flower and bulb family, if you know anything about flowers, especially lilies. This means that they derive their life not from a seed, but from a bulb that lies dormant in the ground until the spring and it comes forth. Sharon in the Hebrew is the word plain, P-L-A-I-N. And Sharon was a part of the coastal plain of Palestine. It was about 6 to 12 miles wide, and it stretched all the way from Joppa north to Mount Carmel, which was several hundred miles. In fact, it covered most of the length from north to south of the land of Israel. And it was a watered and well-fertile valley, and it was known for its wildflowers, especially the lily. And it was also the favorite caravan route from the sea connecting Asia Minor, Egypt, and Mesopotamia. A literal translation of this first verse is, I am the lily of the plains of Sharon and the valleys. So what are the similarities of a lily to Christ? That's what I want us to look at this morning. In his Sermon on the Mount that Michael read for us, Christ brought attention to the lilies of the field when he said, consider the lilies of the field. That's what I want us to do today. Consider the lilies of the field. Everyone recognizes a lily when they see it. And there are many different varieties. But I want us to consider the lily of the field. You know, we're prone to look past that which is familiar. But we need to consider this morning. And Christ said consider. So what are the similarities? First of all, the lily was a very familiar flower in Israel. As I mentioned before, it grew profusely along the roadside, in the valleys, and on the plains of Sharon. In the fertile valley and the higher elevations, it thrived in the wild. They were just, they reproduced every year. God took care of them and planted them, and we'll see that a little bit later on. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 35. Talking about the familiarity of the flower, the lily, in Israel. Well, like the lily, Christ was a familiar figure in Israel also. Luke chapter 4 and verse 37 says, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. He was a very popular figure in his day. Most for the wrong reasons, but still he was well known. The prophet Isaiah said this of him in chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place, that is the valley, that's the word, the valley, shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. This word rose here is the same as in our text in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 1. I am the rose. I am the crocus. I am the narcissus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Well, where is it do we see the excellency of God? Where do we behold the glory of God? It's in the face of Jesus Christ, in the face of this lily of the valley that we're studying this morning. It is obvious here that the prophet Isaiah is speaking about the first advent of Christ, the coming of Christ. And we know that God the Son left his throne in glory and tabernacled among men and walked in the valleys, in the plains of Sharon, that they might blossom as a rose. Of course, he's speaking here. This is a reference to the church. This is how the church is going to be birthed in Israel, in the nation, in the Palestinian nation, and blossom forth all over the earth. So, as the lily was a familiar flower in Israel, so was Christ, a familiar personality. Another similarity of the lily in Christ is this. Men did not plant the lilies of this field. They grew wild. Each spring the bulb would break forth in multiplied flowers to adorn the countryside of Palestine. But they were the product of God's providence, and not the hand of man. They were the product of God's providence and care, and Jesus said of this care in Matthew chapter 36 and verse 30 that Michael read. He said, consider the lilies of the field, for they toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the fire, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So God nurtured the lilies of the field. They grew wild. Well, like the lilies of the field, Christ is not the product of man's hands. The hand of Jehovah raised him up. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jesus was not the product of man's hand. God raised him up. And many scriptures attest to this, that God raised him up. In Jeremiah chapter 23, in verse 5, the prophet writes these words, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. God here tells us this lily of the valley is a righteous branch. and it would be his mission, and one only he could accomplish, to establish righteousness whereby God could be just when he justifies the ungodly. Now turn over a few pages to Ezekiel chapter 34. We have another reference to this rose of Sharon and this lily of the valley. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 29. God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel here says in 34:29, "And I will raise up unto them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more." Here God calls this lily of the valley a plant of renown, and that renown means worldwide renown, known throughout the world. This plant of renown would satisfy spiritual Israel's hunger and thirst as the bread and water of life. He would give them victory, he says, over the heathen. The shame of the heathen was their bondage to the heathen as captives. Well, the spiritual intent is our bondage to Satan. Christ would deliver his people from spiritual bondage. By this lily of the valley, life and death, our spiritual needs were satisfied completely in Christ. And Satan's bondage has been broken for those who are in Christ. In both of these verses, God said, "I will raise. I will raise." The needs of God's elect were so great and the consequences of failure so dire that God could only trust this work to the God-man. And this brings me to another simile of the lily of the valley in Christ. The lilies of the valley were regal, stately flowers. They dominated the landscape. They were 8 to 10 feet tall. Some varieties stood that tall and were filled with trumpet-like blooms. You've seen a lily. All of us are familiar with them. They have blooms that look like trumpets, small trumpets. Well, without a sound, these lilies herald forth the glory of God in creation for all of us to see, just like they did in the days of Israel. As the tallest of flowers, they dominated the landscape around them. Well, such a lily is Christ. He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Jesus said this unto them in Matthew chapter 6 that Michael read, "And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies." Even Solomon, Israel's richest, most magnificent and glorious king, was not arrayed like one of these lilies. This one is the Christ, who is before all things and by whom all things consist. This one lily of the valley, the God-man, who is God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, co-equal with the Father in the essence of his deity, who inhabited heaven, this man took into union with his deity, true sinless humanity, body and soul. Think about this. This man who was before all things and creator and sustainer of all things owned the title of lily of the valleys. This God, this man who is from heaven, this rose of the plain of Sharon, laid aside his glory and took on him the nature of man, body and soul without sin, as the lily of the valleys, to walk among men in the valleys of this world. In this simile, we see the glory and the grandeur of this man whom the writer of Philippians said, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was found in fashion as a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." As the lily of the field to the weary traveler, so is Christ to all that labor and are heavy laden who come to him. As a source of respite and reprieve, the lily of the valleys refreshed and revived those who beheld it, their glory. And as the source and supply of respite and reprieve, the lily of the valley brought redemption with him from heaven for those whom the Father gave him. This lily walked through the valley of the shadows of death, fearing no evil. He is the lily of the valley. Well, have you considered this lily? This God-man, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. What is that name? The rose, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. This man of the plain, heavens, and this man of the valley, earth, the God man. All right, look at Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Jesus compared himself to the lilies of the field, and he compares his church to the same. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. My love speaks of his church. He's talking about his church, who Christ loves. Here Jesus says, I am the lily of the field, but he only says of her that she is as the lily. He says, I'm the lily, but she is as the lily. What's the difference? What's the significance? Well, what Jesus is, he is in himself, underived, and from himself. He is the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, self-existent creator. Whereas what the church is, she is wholly in him, of him, and by him. Because of her union with him, she has an interest in him. And as 1 John 4:17 said, as he is, so are we in the world. Whatever Christ is right now, that's what we are. So what is that? Let's examine that. Is he and he alone the lily of the valleys? In him, we are the lily of the valleys also. As the lily among thorns, so is my love. Is he the Lord our righteousness? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6 says, he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And then Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16 says, she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He being Christ, she being his bride, the church. As he is, so are we in the world. Is he the fairest of 10,000? Is he the holy, harmless, undefiled, lily white, pure, and holy Son of God? So is my love, Christ says, the church, in him. This rose of Sharon, this lily of the higher plane of heaven, who is the Lord from heaven, 1 Corinthians chapter 15:47, condescended into the valley of the shadow of death and walked among the thorns, the daughters, daughters being daughters of false religion. Many religions in the world, many daughters. But he walked among these thorns, seeking his own from among them. He is the lily among thorns, he said, and so is my love, the church among the thorns. You know, we, every one of us who are justified by his blood, walked among the thorns. We lived among the thorns. We still do. And he came to seek out and to save those who by nature act like thorns, who are ungodly, alienated, and enemies in our minds by wicked works, going about to establish a righteousness of our own. And he came and satisfied law and justice for those he represented who lived among the thorns, the lilies that lived among the thorns. And the Father freely imputed to every lily among the thorns what Christ accomplished for us in his substitutionary death on the cross. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to quicken those for whom he sacrificed himself to save. And he didn't come to change thorns to lilies. You can't do that. A thorn is a thorn, and a lily is a lily, and they always will be. A thorn among the lilies is always a thorn, but he came to reveal the difference and make the distinction between the two so that we can know where we are. Listen to what Ezekiel chapter 16 says of the glory of this church that he found among the thorns. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness or my glory, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord. This is what Christ did for his church. He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. He tabernacled among the thorns and the thistles to call out his love to himself. As the rose and lily draw attention to themselves by their beauty, so this rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley draws attention to himself by his beauty. But didn't Isaiah say, he hath no form nor comeliness? And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Didn't John the Apostle write, he came unto his own, and his own received him not? He sure did. But he also wrote this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So there is a beauty in Christ that some see, but he hath no form nor comeliness that in any beauty that we by nature should desire. Unless God quickens his people, his sheep, his lilies, they'll never recognize this lily of the valley. So it's by the beauty of this lily of the valley that sinners behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is under the preaching of the true gospel that God the Holy Spirit guides his elect into all truth. What truth? The truth that identifies and distinguishes a lily from a thorn. It is by the gospel preached that Christ is distinguished from all counterfeits. It is by the gospel preached that sinners are shown their complete salvation and final glory in heaven to be totally the work of Christ, of this lily of the valley for them. The question is this, am I a lily among thorns, or am I a thorn among lilies? Bill mentioned this morning. In every congregation, in every true church, there are both. There are thorns and there are lilies. There are wheat and there are tares. There are counterfeits and true believers. Well, how can we tell? Wouldn't you like to know whether you're a lily or a thorn? Well, in verse 2, he says, as the lilies among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Am I the object of Christ's love? If God loves me, he always has and always will, because God never changes. Am I the object of God's love? Did God appoint Christ to be my mediator and surety and representative? Did he take the whole responsibility of my salvation upon himself? Did he meet and satisfy every demand of God's law and justice against me? Am I justified only by the righteousness of Christ imputed and charged to my account? Have I repented of former idolatry and dead works? Do I stand in opposition to the thorns around me, or am I indistinguishable among them? Does my testimony concerning how God justifies the ungodly oppose that of the thorn? Remember, we are either lilies or thorns. The distinction is clear. There is no in between. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, if you would, please. Christ is the head of the church, his body. He is the lily of the valley. So is she. Listen to what Paul wrote to the churches at Ephesus, about this union with Christ. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what we are in Christ. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. All that Jesus is in his glorious head, so shall the church be glorious in his glory and lovely in his loveliness. For we are members of his church. We are members of his body. Well, one last thought here. The world. Jesus called the world in Matthew 13 in the parables the field. The world is a field, is filled with thorns. But among the thorns are lilies, planted there by God. Although by nature they are tempted by and act like thorns, they are lilies, and they are loved of the Lord. The prophet Micah described all of us by nature this way. Listen to this. The best of them, by nature, is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. That's a description of every sinner before God saves him. Even the most upright, it says. I don't care how many good works you've done. Before God saved you, all your works were wicked works, fruit unto death. You were as a thorn hedge. But side by side, the lilies grow with the thorns in the world. They look like the daughters. They sound like the daughters. They act like the daughters of this world. But they are loved of God. And Christ will have his lilies, all of them. He'll not lose a one. He tabernacled among them to reveal the Father's will and purpose for them and to meet every requirement of God's law against them to secure their final glory. He will not lose one for whom he died. He calls them out of every hill and valley by his gospel and makes them willing in the day of his power to look to him, the lily of the valley, for all their salvation. Well, there are thousands of varieties of lilies in the world. Every color and hue imaginable is available to those interested in them. I personally believe that the lilies of which Christ spoke here were lily white. They were white. They weren't multicolored. They were the picture and symbol of Christ's purity and that of his church. And like the genetically altered lilies of today, men try to alter the person of Christ to fit their persuasions. And we were guilty of that in our own self. Through our ignorance, we thought to conform the impeccable Christ to some perverted way of our thinking. We sought to conform him to our own thoughts about him. We didn't know him by nature, and we created in our mind some notion of God which was nothing more than an idol of our imagination. That's what God's word calls it, idolatry. That's what God saves his people from, idolatry. We act by nature just like the daughters of false religion do. But he is the Lord our righteousness, robed in his spotless garment of salvation, who as the Son of righteousness comes with healing in his wings, that we might be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, Philippians 3:9. Okay, one other verse. Turn to John chapter 4, John's Gospel chapter 4, in verse 35. John 4:35. John chapter 4, verse 35. Christ speaking to his hearers here on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Christ's lilies are white unto harvest. He has redeemed them. He's planted them in the field. The enemy has planted thorns among them, and they languish in this awful state of lostness. Who will tell the good news of the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys? We'll listen to one command from Christ. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest," with this thought in mind. If he had not sent a laborer my way, where would I be today? I am the lily of the valleys. I am the rose of Sharon.